Well, it is good to be here today, and it's good to have the opportunity to speak, as some refer to it as in big church. but again, I'm for those of you who don't know me, I'm Larry Underwood. I'm the associate, and I work with the youth. So a couple of weeks ago, Nate asked me about speaking this morning, and to go ahead and select scripture. And I said, well, on Sunday nights, we've been going through the book of Acts about as long as we've been going through the book of Mark in here. And so I see some of the youth grinning now like, Acts again? But but we're going through Acts. We feel like everything's important, and we need to talk about everything. So today, I selected Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. And for those of you who teach and preach, you know that sometimes God uses this to speak to you. And he'd done that with this with me. And I guess if I had kind of a theme for today, it would be the power of God that comes through prayer. The power of God that comes through prayer. Prayer is so important in our life, and it's such a big part. And this has helped me to remember this. And like I said, it's really spoke to my heart. And so to give you a little bit of background on the scripture today, Peter is kind of the main character here. He was a fisherman before he became a disciple. And now he was a missionary to the Jews. He preached at Pentecost, and over 3,000 were saved. He was bold in his witness. And God even allowed him to raise Dorcas from the dead. And so it had been about 10 years after the crucifixion whenever this event begins to unfold. The church was growing at a really fast rate. Again, it was after Pentecost, and this was making the leaders really upset because they were losing some of their power and some of their control. And most of the time, this means money. So they were pretty upset about it. And it's kind of even true today that as people are coming to Christ in huge numbers in the Middle East, persecution is getting stronger. It's stronger today than possibly ever. King Herod was the king that was in charge there. And he'd been persecuting the church, and because it gained him favor with the Jewish community. Kind of sounds like our political system today, doesn't it? We don't necessarily want to do the right thing. We want to have good favor. So let's read Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 17. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constrained. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the doors were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they passed the first and second guard post, they came upon an iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them in its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hands of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. As Peter knocked at the door, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she keeps insisting that it was so. So they said to her, "It's an angel." Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James. Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. So, Herod was the king, and again, a little more information. Herod was the grandson of Herod the Great, the one who killed the children in Bethlehem. And Herod had killed James, and the brother of John, with a sword. And according to the Jewish customs, he probably done that by beheading. And some writers even also say that John was executed at the same time, but there's not really anything to really secure that. But James, who was also called the son of thunder, was a strong witness and a threat to Herod. So, and again, this is kind of the way we do it in youth, and this is the way I'm going to do it because this is me. And I take verse by verse, I read it, and we talk about it. All right? So, verses 3 says, "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Also, now it was during the days of unleavened bread." So Herod saw that taking James's life, it gained him favor. So he arrested Peter and with the plans of executing him because, again, it brought favor to him. And it also got rid of one of the leaders of the apostles. And at the time of Peter's arrest was during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. That sometimes is confused with Passover. Passover is only a 24-hour time period, where the Feast of Unleavened Bread lasts for 7 to 8 days. And so, in verse 4, it says, "So when they arrested him and put him into prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after the Passover." So Herod put him in prison and placed four squads. And a squad was four soldiers. And they worked probably in three-hour shifts. And that was so that they would be alert, so that they could watch, because this was very important. The guards were under a lot of pressure to not let this prisoner escape. And so he was bound to each guard, one on each side, and then there was two at the gate. And so during this time, and this was a key thing, this really, as I was reading this scripture, I'm thinking there's two parts here, two sermons, two really important things, and I wasn't really sure which way to go, so we're just going to do both ways. But here it said that the church was earnestly praying. So the church was praying, and they just kind of threw that in there. And I thought, wow, that's really important because the church was praying. So verses 5 through 11 says, "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constantly prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly.' and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." So he went out and followed him, and did not know what was done by the angel was real. But though he thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to an iron gate that led to the city, which opened to them in its own accord, and they went out and down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. So while Peter was in prison the night before Herod was to bring him out to be tried and to be executed, the church was gathered at Mary's house praying. Mary was probably had a large place that people could gather. People probably gathered there in Dunn Church kind of quietly because, again, they were all being persecuted. And so the people were there praying for Peter's release. And Peter was sleeping, again, between two chained on each, soldiers chained on each side. As I was looking at this this morning, God kind of showed me something else, and I kind of run through my mind, and I'm thinking, you know, that's kind of the way we are. We're in bondage, each one of us. We have certain things in our life that are strongholds that that keeps us from going to the next level. You know, it could be anything from just not being a witness at church, at our workplace. It could be anger. It could be bitterness. It could be language, an addiction. It could be many things that have us in bondage, keeps us from going to the next level of serving Christ and loving Him. And we may even be in bondage of just not knowing Him as our personal Savior, and which is a huge bondage. But here, Peter was asleep. He was in a deep sleep. And as I thought about that, I thought, now, this is not the first time Peter's had to depend on God. He had a peace. And that peace comes from knowing God, and it comes from experiencing in God. And I thought about that, and I thought about it's spiritual markers. I hope that you have a spiritual marker in your life today, a time whenever you can go back and you can realize and remember when there was a difficult situation in your life, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and God answered it. It was something that only God could intervene and God could do, maybe something even in providing. I know God is my provider. I've seen Him provide in my life whenever things were tough, but God's always been there. So now I don't worry about it. I can lay down and sleep at night because I know that God's going to provide no matter what happens in my financial situation. God's going to provide. And the reason why is because I've seen Him do that before many, many times. And if you, you got markers? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you remember times whenever God worked in your life and it was only Him that could do it. And so Peter knew that it was okay, whatever. Whether he was executed or whether he was being released, he knew that it was going to be okay. So he was arrested, I questioned whether I ought to share this or not, because sometimes God doesn't always answer prayers like we want Him to. And I didn't want you to think that if you've had a situation like this and you've prayed, that it wasn't because you didn't pray enough. It wasn't because God loves somebody else more. But I want you to understand that it's because it was God's will. And God's will is what He's going to do whenever we pray. We're supposed to pray in your will, in your name. And so that's why. But I wanted to share a personal thing. and it was around 1995, which Teresa and I, it was before we had gone into, God had called us into the mission field, and we were attending Sardis Baptist Church, and there was a couple there, Tim and Annette Carpenter, and Tim was a leader in the church, and he actually wasn't a believer at the time, and but they had a little girl, and her name was Megan. Megan was probably less than a year old, and she developed cancer. And they told them that Megan probably wouldn't make it, wouldn't live through it. So the church decided that we would pray for Megan as a group. And every Wednesday, we would fast and pray, the entire church. We would fast and pray, and it would end that night as we came to church and we prayed for her again, especially. And I just saw a post where her Annette and Megan went to the Blumenthal Center to see Aladdin. And it reminded me of how God answered that prayer, how similar that situation was where the church was praying. God heard their prayers, and it was according to His will, and they answered it. And we never know why God does these things, whether it's for us individually or for a church. I know that it encouraged the church. It helped the church to grow in their prayer life and in their faith. And so, but again, Peter had trusted God many times, and the angel appeared to him that night, and a light shone before him. Peter, again, was fast asleep, and the angel had to kick him in the side to wake him. And I thought about that, and I'm going away from my notes here. I thought about that, and I thought about how I was in bondage in my sin. I was lost, and God had to kind of kick me in the side. Had to kick me in the side and tell me, Larry, get up. Tighten your sandals, gird your clothes, and let's go. And that happened when I was on the mission field. I thought I was a believer. I thought I was a Christian. Again, I was asleep, in a sense, in my lostness. But whenever, whenever he kicked me in the side and woke me up, as I was walking down that street, I realized I'd been delivered. God had changed my life. And I was a new creation. But perhaps the angel caused a deep sleep to fall over the guards, like he did when David took the spear from around Saul's head. The angel led Peter past the guards. Immediately they left. The angel left him. And when Peter got outside, he realized that it wasn't a dream. It wasn't a dream, that the Lord had delivered him. He didn't escape. The Lord had delivered him. And I can't help but go back and just tell you, if God's kicking you in the side right now, He can deliver you from that bondage. He can deliver you if you will only allow Him to do so. So verses 11 through 17 says, "And when Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I'm certain that the Lord has sent an angel to deliver me from the hands of Herod and from the expectations of the Jewish people.' So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many had gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter had stood before the gate. But they said to her, 'You're beside yourself.' Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, 'Is it an angel?' Now Peter continued knocking. When they opened the door, and they saw him, and they were astonished. But motioning to him with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and how he said, "Go tell these things to James and the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. So, after Peter realized what had happened, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, and the church had gathered there to pray for Peter to be delivered. When Peter arrived, Rhoda came and answered the door as Peter was knocking, and she got excited. And she went back and told him, she says, "Listen, Peter's at the door." And they said, "You're crazy. You know, nah, can't change him." And here I am going off my track again, but that's what happened. It was crazy that God could change me, that he could change my life. It was crazy. I had people to say, whenever I told friends that that God had saved me, and they would tell me, no, you just recommitted your life. I said, no, I know the difference. I know the difference. God changed my life. And sorry about that. But so Rhoda runs back and tell them that Peter's at the door, and they said, "Is he an angel?" And so they came to the door, and they realized it was Peter, and they were really excited. And probably got a little noisy, and Peter's telling them, "Shh, be quiet, you know. They're out looking for me." And so Peter didn't stay long. He just told them that, told them what had happened, told them his story. And then he said, "Tell all these things to the brothers." Then he departed, and Peter continued to serve the Lord. As you've often heard, and as I said earlier, that sometimes when you prepare for a sermon or a lesson, it speaks to you more than it does to the congregation. So I'm just basically telling you today what God has shared with me, what he spoke to my heart about. And it's kind of a confession. And whenever I pray for somebody, sometimes I tend to pray a prayer of sincerity. I pray and I expect God to answer that prayer. But I don't really pray continuous and compassionately like I should. So as things to remember, that I want you to remember today as we go home, we need to remember, first of all, that we need to pray confidently, expecting God to hear and answer our prayers. Pray with confidence. We know that if you're a child of God, and because that veil was torn, you have access to the Father. And you can pray. And you can pray confidently that he's going to hear and he's going to answer your prayers according to his will. And second, be specific. Be specific in your prayers. Be specific in your prayers. Pray intentional and pray in detail. Pray intentional. You know, sometimes we pray and we say, "God, you know my heart. You know my heart." Be intentional. Talk to God. I mean, he's our Father. A child wouldn't go to his father and say, "Just get me anything you want for Christmas." He's going to tell him specifically. And that's the way we need to do. We need to tell God specifically, "God, here's what I want you to do. I want you to work in my daughter's life. I want you to work in my son's life. I want you to change their hearts. I want you to bring them to you. I want you to save them." And so we need to pray specifically, intentionally, and detailed so that God knows our heart, so that he knows our heart. And then third is to pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Hold on to the promise that God hears and answers prayers. So pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Hold on to the promise. God hears and answers prayers. As we look into the scriptures, we can see sometimes that God answers prayers, but it may not be in your lifetime. It may be, you may not get to see the promised land. You may not get to see what God's done. But you can, again, you can pray with confidence, expecting God to answer your prayers. Because they're going to be answered in His will, but they will be answered. So, in closure, as our musicians come, I want to remind you that if you're praying for a lost loved one, don't stop. Don't stop. Continue to pray for them. Because if you're here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, then somebody prayed for you. Somebody prayed a long time for you. Because if you look at your life, you know that, you, as I said, you know the difference. You know that you were in bondage so much that you couldn't get out. But because of people's prayers, then you were able to come to Christ. But if you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, know that there's people praying for you. There's people that's praying for you. There's people that want you to come to Christ. They know that you need Christ. They know that God wants to have a relationship with you. And people are praying for you. Just know that. And as I said earlier, if God has kind of kicked you in the side and spoke to your heart, trust Him today. Trust Him today. But just as Peter was in bondage, you might have addictions and strongholds in your life that only God can deliver you from. And again, maybe you've never trusted Christ. And if not, then let today be the day. Let today be the day of salvation. As our musicians are playing, if you'll just come down to the altar and ask God. And we've got deacons, we've got other church members that can show you what that looks like. If you'll go ahead and stand.